When it comes to reducing the ingredients that cause climate change, we're often led to believe that it must be done on a global scale involving large nations and industries. But what can an individual do other than use the new, more efficient light bulbs, recycle, drive less, and use mass transit? Well, quite a bit, according to our guest, Jeff Dayette, a senior energy analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists and author of Cooler, Smarter: Practical Steps for Low-Carbon Living. Jeff came to Albany today to meet with Mayor Jerry Jennings' Office of Energy Sustainability. He spoke at Hudson Valley Community College's Smart Tech Program earlier today in Troy. Jeff, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, Brian.
I laid out the basics, Jeff. The new light bulbs, cars with better mileage, walking, bike riding, you know, turn down the air conditioning. We've all heard that many, many times before. What are some of the other things we can do that maybe we haven't heard about?
Well, you touched on a lot of some of the most effective things that we can do in mm-hmm. terms of our transportation is actually the single greatest source of the average American's emissions. So driving a vehicle that gets better fuel economy actually can't be overstated in terms of an impacting decision that a consumer can make. But, moving on to other aspects of people's lives, there's a lot of things that can be done in terms of the energy that we use in our own homes. Something as simple as air sealing our homes can actually save as much as $200 to $300 per year in avoided fuel costs and reduce our global warming emissions in the home by as much as 25%.
That saves us money. How does it reduce climate change, though?
Well, we use a lot of fossil fuels to heat mm-hmm. And cool our homes, whether that's natural gas or coal or oil. And we use a lot of those same fossil fuels to power our lives, all the gadgets and appliances that are in our homes. And so to the extent that you can air seal your home to make it more energy efficient and keep all the energy that you use to heat and cool your home in your home rather than heating and cooling your outside backyard will make a difference in terms of not only saving you money but reducing your global warming impact.
You say there are some eco myths, for instance, hybrid cars and buying locally produced products, farm products. Are you saying they really don't help to reduce climate change? I mean, that's heresy to some people.
Well, yes, it is. In some cases, you have to really be buyer beware when it comes to hybrid cars. Car manufacturers will use the hybrid technology to boost the power of a vehicle and not to use it towards improving the fuel economy. So you just have to pay close attention. Most hybrid vehicles actually are better in terms of fuel economy, but they're not all created equal. And when it comes to buying locally sourced food, there's a lot of reasons to be very supportive of local sourced agriculture. Better health, strengthening your local community from an economic development standpoint. It just happens to be from the standpoint of carbon emissions. The amount of emissions that are embedded in the getting the food from farm to market, so the transport emissions related emissions are far outweighed with how that food is produced. So if a farm farther away is producing its apple or mm-hmm. its produce using more renewable energy, less pesticides. Or less fertilizers, it's actually going to have a much lower carbon footprint than a locally sourced food product that may be doing something a little bit differently.
We've all been waiting for electric cars, and for some reason, electric cars really still aren't much on the streets. I always kind of think about electric cars that if we all have an electric car and we all plug them in at night to recharge, won't that really kind of boost climate change by making the power plants work all night long, and therefore, are electric cars really going to make a difference?
Yeah, our electric cars are transforming our transportation system to electric cars. It's going to be as clean as the electric power system is. Mm-hmm. It's going to be. So if we continue to rely on fossil fuels like coal, natural gas for our electricity supply, and then put all that new load from the transportation sector over there, yes, you're right. It will cause some additional global warming impacts. That's why it's important to sort of have a twofold strategy there. We can get away from oil by electrifying our power or our transportation system, but we have to at the same time improve the quality of our electric power supply and shift over to cleaner sources like renewable energy, energy efficiency, and other low or zero carbon energy sources.
What do you think of the very often there's one in Vermont, and there's often this this debate over wind energy. Out by Cape Cod, there's a big wind farm going up. There's a lot of opposition to it. There was some opposition to Ridge wind farms in Vermont. If not wind, what else?
Well, we do think that wind, when appropriately sited, can play an important role. There's been numerous studies shown that wind can supply 20% or more of our electricity supply in a sustainable way. I think what's really important is to do is when you're siting wind, to do it through an open public process. Make sure the community that you're going to be building in it knows what's going to happen there and are able to ask good questions and be a part of that solution. I find that when communities feel like they're being included in the decision-making process and are feeling like they're doing something that's benefiting the environment, the support for those kinds of projects go up.
What about nuclear power? There are those who say nuclear power actually is a good way to go because there aren't those emissions that you get from coal, oil, et cetera. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, we are in a crisis with global warming at a global level, and we need to have all solutions on the table. Unfortunately, I think with respect to nuclear power, there are a lot of other. It is a low carbon energy source, but there are a lot of other problems with it, and including first among cost. I think if nuclear power can prove itself to be a safe and secure and affordable energy source, then it ought to be kept on the table. Right now, that's not the case, though.
You were here in Albany today. You met earlier with Mayor Jennings' Office of Energy Sustainability. You were also in Troy earlier today, Hudson Valley Community College, the Smart Tech Program. What do you do when you go to these meetings? Tell us about, for instance, your mayor, your meeting with the mayor's group today.
Well, we'd like to talk to them about some of the messages and findings from the research of our book and figure out if there's ways that those ideas and actions can be scaled up to the municipal level. And so we learned a little bit about all the efforts, the sustainability efforts that the mayor's office is undertaking, and there's a lot of good work going on there, and just trying to provide them with additional resources about how they can do even more.
And the Smart Tech at Hudson Valley?
Well, the Smart Tech was really a terrific experience. There's a lot of great activities going on up there in terms of training high school students and college students to be technicians to go into energy efficiency audits of homes, learning how to be technicians in installing and operating solar energy systems and wind energy systems. So it was a real great experience both to sort of bring them some new ideas and messages about how they can reduce their emissions in their own lives, but also to sort of kind of celebrate and learn for myself about all the great things that program is doing.
Are there enough green jobs out there? Are these young people training for jobs that'll be available when they get the grant, when they get the diploma?
Yes, there are a lot of green jobs out there. We are investing heavily in green and clean tech across the country. We do need good policies to support the development of renewable energy and energy efficiency, and to shift ourselves towards a low carbon and clean energy economy. But there are tremendous opportunities for recent grads in this industry.
Jeff Dayette, a senior energy analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists, also the author of Cooler, Smarter: Practical Steps for Low Carbon Living. Jeff has been our guest today on Northeast Report. Jeff, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.